the light today. We're going to start in the book of St. John, chapter 1, if you'll be finding that. Look into the light. And we know what light does. Light illuminates. Light reveals things. If you're like me, with my contacts, I can't see close up like small writing. I have to back it off or put on these reader glasses, right? The one flowers, yeah. I'm a flower child, yeah. Thank you, baby. And so, but sometimes at a restaurant, you know what I'll do? Thank God they put cameras, they put lights on our phones now, right? So if it's a little dark, I'll get my phone. I look like that's ridiculous. I look like a nerd, you know? I get my phone light on the menu and shine it, and all of a sudden I can see. I couldn't see lasagna with meatballs before, right? But then when I shine my light, okay. That says lasagna, not lizard. You know, I can't see it. Light illuminates. Light reveals things. You know, we go out and feed our cats every night, and we keep our bowl in the garage. And I got a little deck light, but it don't light all the way to my garage. And so I take a flashlight. Walk out there. I see my path. It lights my way. I don't step on the cat. I don't hear no, you know, none of that. I can see. So light is everything. Light is what we need to see clearly. I think about the lighthouses, you know, that were used especially back a couple hundred years ago, and what the purpose of a lighthouse is. And I love lighthouses. I love them. And but a lighthouse would be out there on the shore, and it would guide ships in. And the purpose of the lighthouse was to warn ships of dangerous terrain, rocky terrain. What's amazing, the lighthouse really had two purposes that were opposites. It told them to stay away, and yet it told them to come here. It depended on what the situation was. And so the light, those ship captains out there that didn't maybe know where they were, that needed to get safety, they would see from miles away a blinking light in the distance. And it gave them comfort, and it gave them hope to realize there it is. I mean, think about it. On my cruise, I'd have loved to have seen a lighthouse. Let me just tell you, because I would have known I was close to some land. And so I would have loved to have seen a big flashlight. All I saw was water everywhere I went. Water, water, water. Waves and water. Waves and water. Waves and water. That's all I saw. Waves and water. But a lighthouse has a great purpose. It is to guide us to safety and to warn us of danger. Well, Jesus became that light in our lives. We're going to read in verse in John 1 about looking toward that light. So let's start with 1, John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, I know for the person who doesn't believe in God, they don't believe in the Bible, of course, so this verse means nothing to them. But for us, this should really reaffirm our faith. Everything, we believe in God. Everything made by Him. Everything created by Him. I saw a great video. I'm going to share it probably one Wednesday night coming up. I saw the greatest argument, I think, ever against atheism. And it's not a judgmental argument. It's not a derogatory argument. It's facts. Just simply presenting facts through DNA of the creation of how everything has a design, an exact design. You know, it's amazing that we would believe that behind that TV, it's all the circuits that make that thing work. But yet we look at creation and just think that somehow accidentally happened. Everybody would be in agreement someone made that TV. Someone made that TV, probably in China, right? Someone made that TV. They put all them wires in. They hooked everything up. A human being created that device. And we can believe that. But we have a generation that doesn't believe the things around them were created by a designer. It says here all things were made by Him. All things were created by Him. It says there's nothing that was made that wasn't made by Him. So I want to drive that point home, that He is the creator of all things, including our lives, our steps, our futures. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The life of Christ would become the revelation that we needed. Become revelation to us. That life of Jesus would reveal who He was and what He came to do. And the world is searching right now. I mean, they're so searching for some kind of truth. They're looking for any kind of light in any kind of corner to illuminate any kind of knowledge that they might have. But many are looking in the wrong places, in the wrong directions, in the wrong stuff. They're not looking to the true light, which is that Jesus came. And the Bible says in Romans 1, I believe it is, that there's really no excuse for people not to lean or search out God, because creation makes that possible. Because He did things so detailed. So detailed. I mean, we see creation. We see the animal world. We see space. We see stars. We see the moon, the sun. We see the seas and the mountains. We see all these things that are just beautiful creation that just absolutely could not happen by itself. I mean, it's like I said a few weeks ago. If I had a big bucket of Legos and I just threw them down here from here, a big bucket, and just threw them on the floor, and boom, it created a castle. It's not going to create a castle. It's going to create a mess. That's all it's going to create is a mess. I dump them, just a mess. That's not going to form anything. It's not going to happen because, you know, James went bang, bang, and just came together. I was talking to a person the other day that, you know, they believe in science, don't believe in God. So I believe in the Big Bang. I told you this before. I said, I do too. I believe in the Big Bang. I really do. Church, I believe there was a beginning of, there was a bang. There was a moment where things happened. It just didn't happen by accident. It happened by the order of God. It happened through his command. It happened because God said it. The Bible says God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be land, and there was land. Let there be a firmament, and there was a firmament. Let there be creatures of the sea, and all of a sudden the seas were filled with creatures that were designed by God. So I believe that. And when we understand just that part of it, that everything created has to be on purpose. There's an intelligent design behind it called our Savior, our Lord, our God. All things created. This life Jesus would have would be the revelation people needed to see. And I love verse 5. This is a key verse this morning. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The word darkness in the original Hebrew goes back to obscurity. Obscurity means state of being unknown or unimportant or not clearly seen, which I think is amazing. It changes the whole verse when you read that. So think about this. The light shineth in darkness. Things weren't clearly seen. It was unimportant. It was not visible. But that light made it important. It made it visible. It made it clear. And the expression darkness comprehended it not means this, that the darkness could not overtake the light. That's what it translates into. It could not overtake the light. Darkness in your life cannot overtake the light that God has put in your life. We may think it does because all we see is the struggle. All we see is the pain. All we see is the strongholds. All we see is the failures. All we see is the mistakes. All we see is the shame. All we see is the mess ups over and over and over. All we see is decades of disappointment and discouragement. But the light is still shining. And in the end, that darkness will not swallow up that light. That light will shine in the end. It will come forth, and it will be your saving grace, that light of Jesus. So don't be discouraged because you're in a dark place now and maybe you don't see the light the way you want to see it. The light is shining. The light is burning. The light is there. The message is here now. The revelation's already been revealed. Jesus has come. He has died. He has risen. He is resurrected and ascended and living inside of us, and he is King and Lord forevermore. And the depths of all that you battle cannot overtake what the power of the light has done in your life, because that light illuminates that darkness. It expels that darkness. It disperses that darkness, and that darkness no longer has control over you. It is the light that truly has control over you. You know, we have little night lights in our houses. A lot of you might have a little night light. Be able to get from the bed to the bathroom in the middle of the night, or to get to your kids, a little nightlight. And that little nightlight's very dim. But if it went for that nightlight, it'd be pitch black dark. That little bit of light illuminates enough to be able to see. Just that little bit of light. That light's a powerful thing. Jesus is the light that came into the world to show humanity, here I am, here's what I came to do, here's the truth, here's the revelation. I am the Savior of the world. And when men look into this light, you know, the Bible says not to light your candle, put under a bushel, but hold it up so everybody can see. That's our job as Christians. We are bearers of the light. We are not the light. Jesus is the light, but we're the bearers of that light. We're the ones that carry that message, and we carry it through our love, our forgiveness, our compassion, our mercy toward others. We carry it, and we let other people see, here is the truth. Man, we all are failures, and we all got our battles. And none of us would be near as honest in front of all of us as we are in front of the mirror by ourselves. But all of us, if we could have a confessional booth in this church and felt free to come confess to in a booth with a curtain pulled, my Lord, how much stuff we could confess. And I'm thankful that that light of Jesus came to expel my darkness, and that he doesn't see the darkness in my life anymore. He sees me as his child because of the plan of salvation. The darkness can overtake it. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Of course, John the Baptist, who we're talking about. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men, look at this, that all men through him might believe. Faith in that name. Faith in who he is. Faith in what he does. Faith in what he says he was going to do. Faith in his death. Faith in his resurrection. Faith in his ascension. Faith in what he's going to do for our future. Faith he secured us. He came that all men might believe. That's why he came. There was a mission why Jesus came. It's not just a Christmas story. It's not just for a Christmas play. It's not just for a manger scene. It is to transform our lives. It's to change us. And what is so sad is so many don't see that lighthouse on a hill. Or maybe they see it and they ignore the light. Or they go away from the light. Or they dodge the light. They go a different direction than the light. Instead of allowing the light to bring them into a place where they can be rescued. We have a generation that needs to be rescued. Broken. So broken. And not just our young people. I'm talking about people my age. I mean, we're just in a broken generation where lives are shattered, where people are confused, where they're depressed, discouraged, overwhelmed, burdened, weak. They feel hopeless and they feel powerless and they feel like there's no vision and no direction. But once you see the light, the song Grandma sung many times, the old lighthouse on the hill still guides those old ships in. That light today is flashing just as bright as it was on the day of Pentecost. It's shining, church, just as bright as it was in the New Age church, AD 50, AD 60, AD 70. It's shining just as much 200 years ago as it is right now. The light is shining. It's not been turned off since Jesus came. And it's that light, it's that hope, it's that truth that draws people unto himself, because they see for the first time, clearly see for the first time what it's all about. The devil blinds us. He blinds us through his lies. He blinds us through his voice. He blinds us through his direction. But when we start looking toward the light, that light pulls us out of that darkness and we find our way to safety. And that's what Jesus did. He pulled us out of the death that we all were in. He pulled us out of the shame we were all in. He pulled us out of all the junk that we were all in. His righteousness pulled us out. He died with our offenses and he rose with our justification. That's what Christ did for us. The Bible is clear about that. Next scripture. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist was a messenger for Christ, telling people, this is the Lamb of God. Behold Jesus. He's going to take away the sins of the world. He wasn't the light, but he was telling people about the light. He was telling people about Jesus. Verse 9. This was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I've said this many times. Every person is born with a conscience, unless there's a mental issue. But apart from that, every man, every woman is born, and I did say every man, every woman. I'm not going to get into what's happening right now in our generation with that. I mean, my Lord, we won't get into that. Every man, you're either one or the other. That's all I'm saying. You can act like you're something else, but God made you one or the other. You're a man or you're a woman. If you want to be something else, that's up to you, but don't put that on God. God made it this way. No, he didn't. God made you a man or a woman. A boy or a girl. So anyway, every person born has a conscience. Little kids have a conscience. They know what's wrong. We got a great story of Christian with the icing we've told many times. You know, she's a little girl. We had some icing in the kitchen. And she went in there and snuck some icing, some chocolate icing. Was opened up and took some icing out. Her mama asked her about it. No, I didn't get no icing. I didn't touch that icing. She lied about it. She snuck around with it. She knew she wasn't supposed to be in that icing. We never told her, here are the Ten Commandments. Love God and don't eat our icing. That wasn't one of the commandments. We didn't teach her that. She knew she was doing something wrong. Oh, and if only our other kids had only done that one thing wrong, how good life would be. Sitting here eating the icing. And I'm like, she knew. We're born with that conscience. We're born with that awareness that there's a right and there's a wrong. We're born with that. We know. This is why do thieves do this when they're stealing something? Right. Because it's wrong. And they know that. If they get caught, they get in trouble. Now, with our kids, they do the same thing. They're just, you know, they're not maybe stealing stuff, but you know how they sneak around and do stuff behind our backs. It's not right. And they know it's not right. Every person coming in, this light is available to teach them right from wrong. The difference is we have a choice as we go through life. We listen to that little voice inside. Mom ever tell you, listen to that little voice? Now, Michael, listen to that little voice inside. It's never wrong, that little voice. You listen to that little voice talking to you. I love the old Tom and Jerry cartoons, right? Devil, angel. Remember, old Tom have a devil on one shoulder? Little angel, don't eat the little mouse. He's a good little mouse. You're a cat, man. Eat the mouse. He'd be good. Yum, yum. What would happen? The angel would always disappear, and the old devil would win, wouldn't he? Because the devil makes everything look so much better. God presents us a salad sometimes with fat-free dressing. The devil presents us a Mupablo's buffet full of all kinds of enchiladas and burritos, all you can eat. Which one you going to take? We got to be careful, though, because when you bite in that burrito, there's a catch. There's a hook that gets you. This light presents itself to every man that there's an awareness that there's something bigger than them, and there's a right from a wrong, and there's a direction for their lives that they need to follow. But many don't choose that, and they rebel, and they push against it, and they go against the grain. I heard an old joke a while back that the reason God made teenagers so bad is so you wouldn't miss them when they left the house. there's something about when they hit a certain age, man, that all this stuff starts changing inside of them. And it's like, man, everything that I've taught you, you just don't want to listen to it, or you just think you know it. You think you know it. Think you know it. It's amazing. It's that little devil on the angel. I mean, that little devil on the shoulder talking. It's that rebellious. But this light came and lights every man that comes into the world. Every man has access. Here's the beautiful thing. Every human being has access to God. Every human being has access to this light. Every human being has the right and the authority to become a child of God because of Jesus. He paid that price for every country, every race, every background, everything we've done. There are not some that deserve it more than others. He died for humanity. Next verse, verse 10. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I think about that today, too. How many deny the Creator? They live in the very thing he created, but they deny him. How can we swim in the ocean in July and deny there's a God, but we use his ocean? We hike his mountains, but there is no God. We have bird feeders in our yard with all different colored birds that come and feed at our feeders, but we deny there's a Creator behind that. We use all the resources God's given us. We put oil and gas in our cars. We oil and heat our homes with resources that are created by God. We get under a shade tree when it's 95 degrees to find some cool air, and God created that shade for us. That sun that we love to tan to, and you make yourself wrinkle by the time you're 45. You love that sun, man. You a sun worshiper. You look great now, but girl, wait 20 years. Just telling you, you love that sun. We use that sun, but deny the Creator of it. We walk hand in hand in the moonlight at night, right? Romantic, and the moon's out, and love is in the air. But we deny there's a Creator that made that moon. All these constellations. Here's how God, this trips me out, really does. God made shapes in the sky. He made the first connect the dot fun pad. We grew up with those, right? The little shapes you draw and you make a shape. We got Little Dipper. We got Big Dipper. We got wolves and coyotes in the sky and scorpions and fish and all kinds of stuff that's designed. I mean, how cool is God that he makes a connect the dot in the sky? A Big Dipper, a little, all this stuff. But yet, the world denies. They don't know him. I'm going to use all you give me, God. I'm going to walk in this world. I'm going to use the gifts, the resources. You know, I'm going to pet my cat that you made. I'm going to love my dog that you made. Whatever it is. Whether it's a hamster or a black snake, whatever you got. God made it. I mean, I like snakes, but God made them. Everything created by God. Everything. And we have a world that still denies his existence or denies he hears them or denies he cares for them, yet he feeds the fowls of the air and he takes care of his creation. The woodpecker don't punch a clock, but he sure is provided for. The wolf don't go to work with a lunchbox in his paw. Unless you're watching that Bugs Bunny with the sheepdog and the coyote. He don't go to work with a lunchbox in his paw, but God provides. There are deer in my backyard almost every night. It's beautiful. I see the deer back there, and they're in the woods, and y'all stay away from my house, you hunters. Deer out there in my backyard, and they're eating, and they come out of the woods, and they go back, and they're being provided for. Yet we don't think God cares about us, his most important creation. We are his most important creation, humanity. He gave us a soul and a conscience and a heartbeat. He gave us a mind to make rational decisions. He's given us gifts to use to serve others. That's the God we serve. The Jews didn't recognize him. They didn't honor him. They crucified him as part of it. Verse 11. He came to his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. That word power translates into authority. To become the sons of God. To them that believe on his name. We can become the children of God by believing on his name. We can be translated from being separate and lost into the family of God and say, God, I'm now a child of yours. I belong to the King. Doesn't matter what I've done or where I've been, how rotten I've lived my life, how many times the struggles pulled me under, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how dark my life's been, how bad and how rebellious that I've been. When I, Father, come to you and I believe upon you, you have told me that you've given me the authority and power to become your child. I don't have any red tape to push through. I don't have anything to have to try to juggle around. I simply believe, Lord, that you are who you say you are, and that you are a forgiver of my sins. We don't put people in a box to say God can forgive and save them, but not forgive and save them. And we do. We categorize things all the time. And I realize there are definitely worse consequences in the earth for some things versus others. I realize that. But when it comes to the scope of God's forgiveness, there is no big little sins. It is we were born with a sin nature. And the only way we have become righteous is not by what we do or how we live or what we even change. It's by knowing Jesus died to change us, to change what was in the way between me and God. And he died, he rose, and says, no more is this penalty held against you. This is the gift that I give you. My light shines in your darkness, and it pushes all that junk out. And now I cover you with my glory and my power and my presence. That's what Jesus came to do. But we so struggle because everyone tells us what we must do. Here's what this preacher tells you you must do. Believe on the name of Jesus. Period. And then let God do the rest of the work of drawing you and helping you and showing you and directing your path and directing your life and directing your thoughts and your steps. But we categorize, we compartmentalize. We say, Lord, this light can't possibly help me. This light didn't come for me because, Lord, I've done all of this stuff for so long. How could this light ever be shed for me? But it was. By one man, death came upon all. Also by one man, life came upon all. I've said this many times, and this is something I've said the last few months. I've never said it till the last few months. I know it's something that you don't hear much, but I mean, think about this. I mean, even Melody brought this up in our personal discussions. We had nothing to do with Adam's sin. I wasn't here. If I was, I'd be like 6,000 years old. Be looking pretty good, wasn't I, 6,000 years old? Yeah. I had nothing to do. I was not in the garden when the serpent came. I had nothing to do far as my personal involvement in personal sin. I wasn't alive. If I believe I had nothing to do with the fall of man because me personally had nothing to do, I wasn't there. I'm a recipient of that fallen state. How could I possibly become an arisen state on my own as well? Christ had to come and pay the price. So just as I had nothing to do with the fallen state I'm in, I had nothing to do with the risen, redeemed state that Christ has made me. I can't take credit for nothing. I'm saved because Jesus came and saved me. I'm born again because I believe in the name above all names. I'm only alive forevermore and only redeemed forevermore because of the gift of Jesus. So I want you to really process that. We're so quick to judge who's really saved and who's not, but yet none of us had anything to. I mean, I said Melanie said it before. She said, it ain't fair. You know, we got this all this strife and trials in life because stupid Adam. Let's be real. That's how we feel, right? Stupid Adam. I mean, really now, you know, it hurts to give birth to kids, and it hurts to raise kids, and it hurts when they leave, and it hurts when they come home. You know, I mean, it just hurts. Our bodies get old. We're on crutches. I'm playing, brother. We're on crutches. Our hair starts receding. I don't remember the last time I had hair. I mean, real hair, a lot of hair. We get wrinkles in our skin. Our knees start popping. We start walking a little bit slower. That don't seem very fair. Lord, why is this happening to me? The old saying kids say, right? I didn't ask to be born. So why am I suffering? Well, if we believe that, we also got to believe that our redemption has nothing to do with us. Our redemption is in Christ, period. And that's where the light that will shine in our hearts will reveal, because when the broken people that are full of pain and grief and anger and bitterness, when they see how Jesus paid a price for them through all of that stuff, all of a sudden, well, oh my gosh, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. How could he love me? But he does. Now here's the kicker. God doesn't just love us when we behave, when we act right. His love is unconditional. And that's a revelation in itself. Verse 13. He was born not of blood. There was no the will of the flesh. There was no human. Humans can't take credit for what happened to the birth, the gift of Jesus. It wasn't of the flesh. It wasn't of the blood. It wasn't by the will of man, but it was of God. This gift was by God himself. Jesus was born as a gift to the world. Man can take no credit, nothing to do with man. It was all about God and this gift he gave to us. Next scripture, Brandon. Look at John 8:11. I think I've never put it together till this weekend when I was studying this. This last verse is talking about when the woman was caught in adultery, and they all come around her, and they're going to stone her to death. And Jesus made that incredible statement, "You without sin, cast the first stone." So he ends up saying, all of his accusers scattered. He said, "No man, Lord," because the verse before that, he says, "Who's your accuser now?" She says, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then look at the very next verse, the very next verse behind what he said. Then he spoke again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He is the light that extinguishes our darkness. He is the light that that woman needed to say, "I'm not seeing you as what you have done. I'm seeing you as what I'm going to do. And I have forgiven you. And I'm not holding it against you." Because that light overcame her darkness. And that light of Jesus and that love of Jesus overcomes our darkness. And we've been in some dark places, all of us have. We've been in some dark places in our minds, with our lives, with our relationships. Some dark places that we saw no light and we saw no hope. Think where God's brought you from where you were. Think where some of you were and where you are today. Because that light never left you. And that light was a beacon saying, "Follow this way, follow this way." And the beautiful thing about a light is, see, when I go out to feed my cats, they know I'm out there because they see that flashlight. I take my flashlight in the yard, I start doing this across the backyard. They start running, all four of them start running. Follow right to the building. They associate light, when they see that light, with food. Me hungry, me want food. They see that light. That's what Jesus is. He's the light. See me? Here I am. Follow this. But Lord, this ain't the right, like an awful bad road. Just follow it anyway. Trust me. A lot of potholes here. Follow the light. I see a lot of storms. Follow the light. I see a big old lion's den up there. Follow the light. There's a big old Goliath. Follow the light. Just follow the light. The light doesn't always lead us on a very smooth Nebraska 50-mile stretch paved no curve road. The light sometimes leads us through places that we don't want to go. But as long as we see the light, as long as we're following the light, we get through that. We get over that. We accomplish what God called us to accomplish. We end up where He wants us to be. Follow the light. Life is not easy. We know this. One more verse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Man, I sure don't feel like a child of God some days, do y'all? Because, man, I don't always behave like I should. I'm a bad son sometimes. I'm a weak son sometimes. I can even be a rebellious son sometimes. But yet He calls me His child because my faith's in Him. Like Melly said on that porch, how God was with her. God is with us in our storms. I think about the story of the troubled sea. Disciples were on the sea and Jesus was sleeping. Remember, they woke Him up. "Master, we're going to perish. Don't you care?" Man, He was on the boat with them. They couldn't perish. He didn't say, "Go to the side and don't worry. 5 mile winds out of the southeast blowing very light. You know, no issues. It's going to be a smooth sail." He just said, "Launch over to the other side." So what? A storm came. Did they make it to the other side? Yep. All of them make it safe? Yep. Jesus was on the boat. The light was there. And that light led them to the other side. This light that Jesus came to give the world is the life of men. We have no life outside of Christ. We have no hope or no future outside of Christ. And it's that light that shines so bright that the whole world sees this is the way and this is the truth and this is the life. I'm thankful for that, that you are a child of God through Christ. No matter what you see, no matter what you're facing. I think that we have been gimmicked a little bit through the years into thinking because we're Christians and we're faith believers and we're prophecy speakers and that nothing happens in our lives. Do y'all know of any real, what we call in the old days, Holy Ghost-filled Christians that have struggles? Man, I've said many times, man, you can talk in tongues all you want Sunday, but you might be in a bad place on Monday. The power's not in that. The power's in Him. That's where the power's at. And that's what's going to change us, is letting His power change us. We still have a bright future because of Christ. And so we can enjoy our present because of that. Let the light of Jesus draw you home today. Look for that truth that's only found in Him, this gift that came to the world 2,000 years ago to light the way for every man. I'm grateful and I'm thankful that light found me. I'm grateful that I saw the light. I'm grateful that that light has kept me through times of my lives and seasons of my lives where I so easily could have failed into a place of darkness where I could never see, where I couldn't have saw that light. But somehow there was always a flicker that God always kept on it's like an old haunted movie where the light's flickering, you know. But it always flickered. I always knew He was there. And I'm thankful for that. We celebrate Jesus this time of year. That's what it's all about, celebrating Jesus. Celebrating this beautiful gift He's given us. And I am thankful for that. We're going to do, I'll tell you what, Jewel, come on up here. We'll do this now. Jewel's going to do a special song. She put this on Facebook. I thought it was beautiful. I told her I wanted her to sing it this morning. She would. It's a Christmas song. And I want her to sing this. And then we've got treat bags. Don't anybody go anywhere. We've got treat bags to give out to everybody and the kids too. And we'll get the kids in here in a minute. You want the stool? Get here, let's see. If you would keep Chuck and Jewel and Anna, especially the ones, those three that are here this morning that need your prayers. They lost a good friend a couple days ago. 45-year-old man, and Chuck grew up with him, been at Anna's house many times through the years, and he's actually been to church here a few times, and he's off the earth, he's gone, and it's a tragic end to a person's life, and just pray for this family, and pray for his family, that God brings comfort. Share with you, if you don't mind, I asked Jewel, Chuck said it was okay. So, his name was Sean Bogger, 45 years old. He came to church here two or three times with his son, who's 11 years old. And he took his own life a couple days ago. He went to the garage and hung himself. And Chuck called me last night and... he had left a little note behind saying that he wanted Chuck to speak at his service and wanted Chuck and Jewel to sing. And he had my business card that I gave him. It was laying beside where he hung himself. And he put in there, so I want Pastor James to do my funeral. And it really, this was a man that was going through a trial in his life. And I know Chuck had reached out tremendously and Jewel and I had too the last few months. And didn't see it coming. There was no indication it was going to happen. But it's going to be a different Christmas for a lot of people this year. So please pray for that family. This is someone who did believe. In fact, I was told by someone that the last time he was here, he came to the altar here. And he told Anna that He said, I went to church today, and said, I laid it all down, gave it all to God today. And that gives me a lot of comfort to know that. The service won't be after Christmas. They're holding back after the holidays to do the service. But just pray for this family. It really hit me hard yesterday. I sat in a chair in my backyard one Saturday morning for about 45 minutes and talked to him on the phone. And when I look at that tree now, that's what I'll always think about. But he was really a fine guy. He really was, and very personable. And for whatever reason, just something hit his mind that was he couldn't ever come. So pray for Chuck and Anna and Jewel and others that knew this man. His obituary was in the paper yesterday. But I'm just thankful, church, that we have that light in our lives. So many are in such darkness. They feel no hope. And Chuck, I know you were there for him the last several months, brother. You were there, man. I know you were. And you talked to him and you encouraged him and you was with him. And who knows what difference that all that made for his life at the end. All the difference. So this is a beautiful song that Jewel sung. I want her to sing it for you and bless you with it. Look what God has done. Jamie, you mind going back here and getting the kids out? Tell them to come on in here. Appreciate that. Ushers, come on up, receive our offering this morning. We only got a few more weeks in this year to be able to give, so we do need your support for the end of the year. So definitely pray about that and sow a seed into the ministry. I want to thank Ralph this morning. He got here to church about 9:30. I put him to work. Don't come early. Right, Ralph? We had four reflectors that they repaved our driveways and they did the sewer lines. And that was like just really black asphalt. And Mom made a note the other night. It was hard to see, kind of turning in, so dark. So Ralph went and put some reflectors out for us this morning. So we appreciate that very much. So hopefully be able to see a little bit better tonight when you come back. And definitely come in tonight. Come back tonight. Don't. It's gonna be a good time. Our fellowship. We have it once a year. Our dinner and play, and we finally got a fellowship hall this year to use for the first time. That's very special, and we're really excited about that. So make sure you bring plenty of good food, and we'll have a good time. It starts at 6:00, so be here so we can get eating and get back in here for the play as well. Father, we thank you for this service and this word. We thank you are the light. We thank you that what you have done, God, for us, that you are the light to all men, and that this is a great gift you've given us. We ask your blessing upon this offering today, that you use it for your glory, God, and meet the needs of this body, meet the needs of this ministry as we are carrying out your work, Lord. We give you honor and praise for who you are, what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.